May be seated, and at this time it's my pleasure to have Nathaniel Camp come and share the Word of God with us.
Good morning. I'm privileged to be up here this morning. It's been exactly a year since the last time I was in the pulpit. So, very glad to be here. I might be rusty, but the Holy Spirit doesn't get rusty. So, that was a good last hymn. I didn't tell Pastor Jeff this, but that's my favorite hymn. The reason is, because I served in the Ivory Coast in Western Africa for a year, and there was a particular point where I got salmonella food poisoning, and I was incredibly sick. And I remember there was a time where my abs were convulsing and flexing so badly that I couldn't even stretch my legs out. I was just laying in the fetal position in my bed. And leading up to that point, there were some other things that happened. I touched a poisonous caterpillar, and I got a rash on my hand, and it itched like crazy, and I got, there's something called mango mouth. Some people are allergic to the peel of a mango, and I got, it's basically poison ivy that you get on your lips. So all three of those things happened at about the same time. And so I was laying in bed, and the Wi-Fi was also out. So I couldn't do anything but lay there and be sick. And while I was laying there, I just kept singing that song. Because it's rough, but sometimes God, He'll tear you down to where you realize the only thing you have is Him. And I cherish that moment of being sick and having to go to the bathroom all the time, because it brought me to the point where I realized I didn't have anything else. Today we're reading, I don't know how to work this doohickey. Here we go. Alright. So we're reading in Ephesians chapter 6 verse 18. Today, if you have your Bible, you can open there. And thankfully, Jonathan's got you used to doing a whole sermon on one verse. so I don't have to explain that happens sometimes, but there's a lot of elements to this verse. It says, praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints. So obviously this is about prayer, so let's start by praying. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this morning and for bringing us here. And I just ask that you open all of our hearts to your word, and that you graciously allow us to understand a little more about you and about your word. God, I ask that you use me and that it be your words and not mine that are being spoken. So in the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. So the first thing we have to understand is the context of this verse. It would have probably been better to put dot 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 lowercase p, praying at all times in the Spirit, because this is in the middle of a sentence, this verse is, which, as you know, Paul also, he kind of rambles sometimes, and so this is also in the middle of a bigger thought process. And so we have to understand what it's talking about, and what the preceding verses and sentences are. So first, let's give a summary of verses 10 through 18, which Jonathan's been preaching on. So first, Paul exhorts them, the Ephesians, to be strengthened in the Lord and to put on the full armor so that they can stand against Satan's strategies. Then he exhorts believers to stand by appropriating the various pieces of the defensive armor. And third, he commands them to grasp the last two pieces of armor, the helmet and the sword. And then that's where we land here at verse 18. So we have to see how it connects to these preceding verses. The original sentence or idea is back in verse 16, where it says, in all circumstances. So if I were to read that and then tie it in with verse 18, it would be, in all circumstances, praying at all times in the Spirit. And so Paul is emphasizing here, obviously, the importance of, in every circumstance, at all times, pray, is basically what he's saying. And this also connects to the previous sentence in verse 17, which is telling him to take the sword and take the helmet. And that's significant because praying us enables us to get ready for the fight. So these previous verses are talking about the armor, and it's talking about taking the sword of the Spirit and the spiritual battles that we have to go through. And Paul is drawing us at the end here in verse 18 to the idea of prayer, because prayer is how we're able to do that. If you remember in verse 12, Paul tells us exactly who we're fighting. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. So that's who we're fighting. The difference here, you know, between a regular war, a soldier, you know, he needs his gun to fight. But here, the Christian has to supplement everything with prayer, because number one, that's our direct communication to God, and that enables us first to fight and then to continue in the fight. Prayer enables us to wear the armor and wield the sword. Paul is ending this long thought process with the subject of prayer, because it explains how to do everything that he just discussed about wearing, you know, for example, the breastplate of righteousness and eventually taking up the sword and entering battle. An example of taking up the sword being supplemented with prayer is in Exodus chapter 17, when Moses intercedes and Joshua fights with the sword. I believe they're fighting the Amalekites. I'll just read it. In Exodus 17, starting in verse 8, it says, then Amalek came and fought with Israel at Rephidim. So Moses said to Joshua, choose for us men and go out and fight with Amalek. Tomorrow I will stand on the top of the hill with the staff of God in my hand. So Joshua did as Moses told him and fought with Amalek, while Moses, Aaron, and Hur went up to the top of the hill. Whenever Moses held up his hand, Israel prevailed, and whenever he lowered his hand, Amalek prevailed. But Moses grew weary, so they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat on it, while Aaron and Hur held up their hands on one side and the other on the other side. So his hands were steady until the going down of the sun, and Joshua overwhelmed Amalek and his people with the sword. So this is a perfect example of the power of the sword being supplemented with the power of prayer. And it's a great metaphor for this particular verse as well, and what Paul is saying. So there's a lot of elements in this verse on how to pray, which is why we're only discussing one verse today. And so let's break all those down. First it says to pray always, pray with all prayer, pray in the Spirit, pray with alertness, and pray with perseverance. And then lastly, pray for all the saints. So the first element is to pray always. Now obviously, praying always doesn't mean to always say prayers. Doesn't mean to go about your whole day praying out loud and even praying in your head. What it means here is to always be in communion with God, and to walk according to the Holy Spirit and just stay in that tight that tight communion with God and be mindful of kingdom things. Matthew 6, verse 7 says, it warns us, Jesus warns them against heaping up empty phrases and using many words. So obviously this doesn't mean to always speak words in praying. It's important because Christians always have to pray because they're always, subject to attack. So it's telling us, which we'll discuss later, but this can tie into being ready at all times. So praying always makes it to where we're ready for attack. The second part is to pray with all prayer. And, that can be confusing, if you think, well, prayer is prayer. What does he mean? Well, there's three different types of praying. Supplication, intercession, and thanksgiving. And I'll read this quote. The believer who only asks for things is missing out on blessings that come with intercession and giving of thanks. So first we'll talk about supplication. Supplication means need, lack, or want, or request, petition, and entreaty. So supplication is basically just asking for things. And then the second one, intercession, is interceding or praying on behalf of others. So praying for people. And then thanksgiving, obviously giving thanks. Thanksgiving is a great prayer weapon for defeating Satan. One of the things my wife and I do is, we try to do it every day, but sometimes we miss a day, is, before we go to bed, we talk about what we're thankful for. And, sometimes I have to admit the last thing I want to do is talk to my wife before I go to bed because we've just had a disagreement. I got to tell you, when we're laying next to each other in bed and there might as well be a brick wall between us, when I say, Nikki, what are you thankful for? Then everything just calms down. And oftentimes another method of fighting Satan is to be thankful, and you know, to thank the Lord for what you have. Next is praying in the Spirit. So we believe in the triune God, God the Father, God the Son, and God the in the Holy Spirit. And so the way we pray is that we pray to the Father through the Son and in the Spirit. And it's in the Spirit's power that we can pray in the will of God. It's possible to pray, I think this is a Jonathan Overstreet quote, so I'll quote him. It's possible to pray fervently in the flesh and never get through to God. It's also possible to pray quietly in the Spirit and see God do great things. The Holy Spirit, it intercedes for us, and it helps us to pray according to what the will of God is. And we see examples throughout Scripture of certain times where, you know, an example of many of the prophets where they pray things that aren't very nice. They pray for destruction and that certain kings would fall. And, that's just an example of ways in which the Holy Spirit can intercede, rather like what Pastor Jeff talked about in this morning in Sunday school. Messages aren't always supposed to make you feel good. And, the Holy Spirit can intercede for us so that we pray more according to what the will of God is rather than what our emotions might be telling us. The Holy Spirit indwells the believer and is a vital part of the believer's spiritual well-being. So this is speaking again still on the fact that the Holy Spirit can intercede for us. As you know, we're indwelt with the Holy Spirit, and that helps us to pray. And praying is a part of our spiritual well-being as Christians. And then finally, the Spirit gives us strength in our weakness and intercedes on our behalf. I'm reminded of, there's been times where I've prayed and I know what I want to say, but I just can't say it. Sometimes the subject of my prayer is difficult. And I'm thinking of the verse that says the Holy Spirit intercedes for us in groanings too deep, something too deep for words. I can't remember the exact verse. But I think of that verse and that sometimes I just can't speak, but the Holy Spirit can intercede for me and be that go-between. And then next is to pray with alertness. So watching and praying is the secret to victory over the world. Praying can help to defeat the flesh, and praying can help to defeat the devil. And so these are ultimately the things we're battling. And being alert at all times can help us do that. I already kind of mentioned it. But alertness to what's going on around us and what's going on in others' lives is important because it helps us, it just helps us to know what's going on. If you think, again, going back to the metaphor of a battle or of a war, when troops know where other troops are and when battalions know where other battalions are and what they're doing, and they constantly have that alertness to those things, it allows them to fight their war better. And so praying with alertness means, it can also mean being alert to the schemes of the devil, and recognizing when there's sin or when there's temptation, and being on top of that and praying to be able to get through that. And I love the message this morning in Sunday school because it talked about the body of Christ, and as the body of Christ, we have to be able to support each other, and praying with alertness helps that. So rather than coming to church and leaving, like, have fellowship with people. And if you know them well enough, ask them tough questions. And it's great every once in a while to say, I know I don't know you very well, but is there anything I can pray about? And it helps you to stay alert to what's going on around you. Another way to stay alert is to know what's going on around the world. Globally, locally, internationally, what's going on in the world? How can we pray? How can we pray for example, if you don't know that Donald Trump is our president-elect, you don't know how to pray for our future president. So you have to know those things so you know how to pray for people in the world. An example of praying with alertness. One of my, probably actually my favorite story is Nehemiah. And Nehemiah is constantly on guard. Once he gets to the city and gets ready to build the wall, he prepares himself and he sets up watch. And Nehemiah chapter 4 verse 9 says, "Nevertheless, we made our prayer unto our God and set watch." So they were constantly watchful and constantly praying. And I'm just, one of the things I'm impressed with in Nehemiah is how much he prepares before he actually starts building the wall, and how much he prays before he actually starts building the wall. Another example is when the disciples are sleeping in the garden, and instead of praying like Jesus asked them to. And in a more immediate example of that not working out so well is Peter and him in denying Christ. And that brings up another point that praying helps us to strengthen our spiritual muscles in a sense. And I think if we're praying with alertness and we're constantly praying, we're more mindful of what's going on around us. So constantly praying helps us to be alert. And just this keeping alert phrase, it appears 4 times in the New Testament. And it means to watch for a possible threat and to be alert and vigilant. The disciples were instructed to be alert for Jesus' second coming. So this is a constant kind of theme in the New Testament. Be ready. The verb and the noun, alert, means to continue to do something with intense effort, to devote oneself, to keep on, to persist in. So this is the theme of this verse, chapter 6, verse 18. Just constantly do it. Constantly do it. And it helps you to be alert. And even constantly be alert. And just stay aware of what's going on, in the spiritual realm. And then pray with perseverance. This is to stick it out and not quit. Again, continue praying. One of the things I'm constantly working on is staying consistent in praying for things. I know unsafe people that I'll pray for fervently, and then it'll kind of fall to the wayside. And there's many people that I've known who have prayed continuously for the salvation of others, and they've been able to see it. And that's something that I've tried to challenge myself with. But praying with perseverance maintains that alertness that we talked about. It causes alertness, and alertness keeps believers in prayer. So this all is mingled together. But persevering through prayer, it takes discipline, and it's very important. Early believers prayed this way, and so should we. You look in Acts, and it's incredible how much prayer that they did. And I know we were a part of like a week-long prayer meeting in the Ivory Coast, and this was a room full of, I don't know, 500 people or so. And they would usually have like one speaker who would speak for about a half hour to an hour, somewhere in there. And then the rest of the day, from morning until the afternoon, they would pray the whole time. And I realized that for the small group of Americans that went, we got so bored. And I think it's because in America, we need attention grabbers. And we're such gluttons for entertainment. And when really persisting in prayer, that's an incredible discipline. And it's one that many Americans in our culture especially, we have to get used to doing, is persevering through prayer. So an example of this persistence is in Acts chapter 12. It's the story of when Peter was in prison. And particularly in verse 5, just to point out their practices, it says, "So Peter was kept in prison, but earnest prayer for him was made to God by the church." And eventually an angel of the Lord came and broke the chains off Peter, and then led Peter to safety. But the reason I read that verse 5 is because it talks about earnest prayer for him being made. So again, that just goes back to that whole idea of the body working together, of people praying for Peter. And this, I think it also shows alertness. They knew Peter was in prison, and they were alert to pray for him. And they were not only alert, but they persevered through that. They were very persistent. Next is to pray for all the saints. Again, we're in this together. And all the saints implies all believers are involved in this spiritual warfare. Again, ask people, how can I pray for you? Or just knowing people, doing fellowship with people, you can see that. You know, in talking to somebody, you can understand their car broke down, they need prayer. So, praying for all the saints, I mean, I can't highlight it enough, but that's the body working together, and that's being alert to the needs of other members of the body. And then even, I'm skipping ahead a little bit. I hope Jonathan will forgive me because I'm infringing on his sermon. But even further down in verse 19, Paul asks that they pray for him. And if Paul needs that, how much more so do we need that? And do people in our body need that? When I served in Africa, I can't tell you how it was just such a breath of fresh air when somebody sent me an email saying, "Hey, we're thinking about you. We're praying for you." Over there, I would take that over a large financial donation any day. And it's because I just knew people were supporting me and people cared. And it wasn't even that I cared that they cared about me. It was that they cared about the growing kingdom of God, and that they cared about the fact that, you know, these people had been led to Christ, and they were excited about that, and they were praying for that specifically. So I loved the prayer warriors that constantly were supporting me while I was in ministry. In the spiritual battle, there should be mutual concern for one another, demonstrated by people praying for each other. Praying for other members of the body also helps us to have peace within the body. I had to work with an individual that I really did not get along with. And the leader of my team in Africa said, "Well, why don't you pray for her every day?" And so I said, "Okay, I started praying for her." And to make a long story short, we found reconciliation in our relationship, and she's one of my wife's and I's best friends today. And I know she's going to be a lifelong friend. But that happened because I was intentional in seeing what her needs were, and then I was intentional in praying for her. And so that's a way to create also cohesion in the body. So the summary of this, in the midst of spiritual warfare, Paul emphasizes the vital importance of prayer. And that's the summary of this verse, but this verse summarizes this short passage about this armor, the spiritual armor, in that this is the thing that connects it all together. This is the communication with our Creator that allows all of this to be possible. I've noticed in my own life that when I've become complacent in my prayer life is when I've become complacent in the bigger battle. And we, as Christians, we're called to war. We are. And there's many people that think that's extreme. They would say, "Nathaniel, that's a little extreme." And I disagree. And I can disagree, with a good conscience, because Paul right here, he likens our daily life to being ready for battle. And prayer is this communication that we have with God. It's what gets us ready for battle. And that's why it's so important. And I think it's strategic in that Paul ended this with praying. And, I saw a commentary that said, he didn't attach a piece of body armor to this. And it's because this is important for all of it. And, one of my favorite things to do is read World War II history. And one of the things that I love about that is with the Western Front, the Americans and the British and everybody, when they were advancing on Germany, they were encouraged by the fact that the Russians were very close to Berlin. And in that communication, by communicating, you know, with the other allies and with their commanders, they were spurred on by the fact that the Russians were close. And of course, we know that when the Russians finally did invade Berlin, it was a very swift end. And I'm using that example to say that the communication we have with our Father, our Heavenly Father, and the communication that we have with others is vital to our fight. And we have to remember the strategy. We have to be in constant communication with our God, who allows us to be alert, who allows us to know information for the battle. And as Christians, we have to have a wartime mentality. We have to be battle ready. I realize that, you know, I'm a painter right now, and I hate it. I'm a missionary. I hate calling myself a painter. But I know that God has me in Beaver Falls, Pennsylvania for a reason. And, if I can lead people to Christ while I'm in Pennsylvania, then it's a great mission. But the way that I can do that is by praying every day. God, show me who needs the gospel. God, help me to resist temptation. Help so-and-so to resist temptation. When I'm in that constant communication with God, He gets me ready for the next mission. And He gets me ready for this mission. And as Christians, we have to have that mentality that right now, we're not just mechanics. We're not just accountants. Right now, we're missionaries. And we get that mentality because we pray. And because God reveals that to us. We have to remember that there are Christians out there who are cut off from the rest of us. This goes again back to praying for the saints. A great way to do this is to support missionaries. And there's many missionaries and there's many local people who are Christians who are fighting every day. And they're not connected to the larger body of Christ except through prayer. But we can't know about that unless we're praying. And my challenge to us as a church is to start praying intentionally. God, reveal to me how I can be more alert of the battle. How can I be a more alert of what's going on around me? And it might be uncomfortable. I mean, that's one of the more dangerous prayers I've ever prayed. God, make me alert of who's around me. Who needs the gospel? Who are the Christians that are suffering and need support? Who are the Christians right next to you that are struggling with temptation that you can invest in their life a little bit and understand what they're going through and pray for them? This is how the body grows. This is how the kingdom of God is advanced. It starts with prayer. It starts and it ends with prayer. So let's begin. Let's begin praying for people. Praying for people that are cut off. Begin praying for the body of Christ. Begin praying that we can resist temptation and doing it every day. Doing it at all times in constant prayer. Being constantly aware of the spiritual realm. Let's begin thinking with a wartime mentality. Another thing I love about World War II is everybody fought. The troops fought, the wives in America fought, everybody fought. They contributed. And that's what we're called to do as a church. You know, obviously we're not in the Middle East pushing the gospel. I wish I was, but I'm not. Right now I'm in Pennsylvania. What can I do here? Let's begin to have this mentality. Let's pray. Father, again, I thank you for this morning. And Father, I just ask that you give us this wartime mentality and that you make us alert and aware of how we can pray. Make us aware of others. Help us to have fellowship so that we can understand what's going on in each other's lives. And push us towards the mission. Father, help us to pray at all times. Help us to be in communion with you at all times. And to walk according to your Holy Spirit. And not according to our flesh that oftentimes divides us. Father, I thank you for your presence here this morning. It's in the name of Jesus I pray.